Bennett gets it. Here's Verhaeghe shooting. He scores! Carter Verhaeghe! 8:35 into overtime. The Panthers have done it. They've stunned the Boston Bruins.
Welcome back to the Leafs cast for the first ever round two playoff preview podcast. Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Florida Panthers.
Steven, you know, that felt just as good in my heart as I thought it would when you said, can you say that one more time for me, Steven?
The Toronto Maple Leafs second round playoff preview podcast versus the Florida Panthers. Second round, baby.
I haven't been this little stressed in 2 weeks. I got to watch a game 7 last night without sweat. It was great.
Somebody today at work was like, man, this playoff first round's crazy. There's so many game 7s. I was like, yeah, there's usually, you know, like there's two. There's usually the Leafs. And then somebody else was like, wait, we weren't even a part of it. It is pretty bananas that we got this thing done in 6. Tim and I both predicted it would be done in 6, but I don't think we were actually ready for it. And
we also didn't appreciate that winning in 6 meant we had to lose 2 games.
Yes, that's true. And we can get into our preview for how many games we're going to think this one's going to go. But I don't know. You almost like think about it a little more seriously now. But I was going to do intro, by the way. I'm Steven Douglas, joined by Tim and Ryan Allison. I haven't said our names on the podcast in like 6 months. And sometimes, you know, you listen to a new pod and then you're just like, who even are these jabronis? So
listen, that's we got exciting Leaf stuff to talk about. We don't have time for that nonsense. We got to get right into it here.
Before we have exciting Leaf stuff to talk about, we have exciting Boston news to talk about. They are golfing. They sent home, they choked away the 3-1 series lead. Oh, that was sweet. That made my day.
As much as I love the Leafs winning, and I love the Leafs winning, I think more than anything, I might love Boston losing just a little bit more. I mean, obviously watch that game from the second it started to the second it finished. I don't know. Like, I haven't cheered that hard for a team that wasn't the Leafs ever, right? Than I was the Panthers that night. And we were talking the other week about like, the other day, like, what if, you know, who do you want to face, Boston or Florida? I forgot about the joy I would get from Boston losing, and I'm just so happy. I'm so happy.
Those shots of the sad Boston fans. Like, I'm sorry I've been there, but I'm so happy to see your tears. Does that make me a bad person?
I loved the fans clapping, though, saluting their team like, oh, good job, guys. You just had 65 wins. And honestly, we're just happy that you took us on this ride. This was great. We still love you guys. Like, are you kidding me? What an absolute failure. This is like what the first or second most embarrassing playoff loss in the last 30 years.
It's up there. I mean, Boston set records for points and wins. Heavily favored against the wildcard team, and they blew it. They were up 3-1.
I think what my favorite part of the whole thing is, because, you know, everyone asks, like, as soon as we won, and you know that game 7 for Boston, Florida is the next game, everyone wants to know, like, oh, who do you want to face? Like, are you cheering for Boston? Are you cheering for Florida? Like, what do you want? And, like, I told people, like, listen, objectively, Florida's probably going to be easier to beat than Boston. Probably. It's not necessarily going to be an easy series, but, you know, the season that Boston had is pretty impressive run they put together there. But I told people that I was cheering for Florida because I am so tired of dealing with the Corey Perrys of this world and the Patrick Maroons of this world and all the butts that were in Tampa Bay. And Boston is like the hub of the hockey universe for those players. And sure. I'm so glad, putting aside the Leafs' chances of winning the series, I'm just so glad that we don't have to deal with more of that nonsense, that we could just go a fun hockey against the Florida Panthers, a truly offensively gifted team, and just go play hockey. It's going to be so fun. And I love it that Boston has no part of that.
I mean, for one, like, Matthew Tkachuk is a thing. It's not going to be all roses, sweet smelling in round two, but I'm glad not to see any Jake DeBrusk or Brad Marchand or any of those guys.
Yep.
One fun stat: the Boston Bruins since 2012 are 3-5 in game 7s, 3-0 against the Leafs, 0-5 against any other team in game sevens.
That's actually pretty wild.
It's wild.
Well, and they too, obviously they've had way more playoff success than us, but like another season where they haven't won the cup since 2011, right? That's obviously better than us. I'm not like beefing on them for not winning the cup, but I'm just saying like disappointing for them and another season of disappointment for them. And I'm just so happy. And I mean, positive for the Leafs as well. We now have the 28th overall pick in the draft, right?
There you go. Because we have
a first round pick.
Thank you, Rasmus Sandin.
Little wins.
So
little wins. All right. But is it time to get back to Leafs talk only?
It is Leafs talk only. It's, well, this is a Boston hate podcast as much as it's a Leafs podcast. So yeah, the other side of that is the Leafs do still have to play someone. We don't just get to sit here in our victory for the next
The season's month. Not over.
Yeah, the season, the job's not done, and that's what the Leafs were saying after the last win. So home ice advantage, Florida Panthers coming to Toronto on Tuesday night. Let's talk about these two teams. Tim, you've got some stats, I guess, here talking about comparisons between the Leafs and the Panthers. Obviously, they're in our division. These guys won the President's Trophy last year, and they went all in last year, kind of came through this season and really scraped their way into the playoffs on like the last couple days. And then obviously you've just now beaten the best team in NHL history to have a date with us. So who's coming to the bank on Tuesday?
Well, what's interesting is like about Florida is that they had a horrible start to the season. They just like couldn't put it together. Whether that was the turnover of Huberto and Uyghur leaving and Chuck coming in the door, but or like the new coach like Maurice came in, but they had a horrible start to the season, but then really turned around. Like since the All-Star break, they have been basically do or die mode to try and get to the playoffs, and clearly that has continued through Game seven. So they come in firing on all cylinders. But if you want to talk about the Florida Panthers roster, you got to start at the top and work your way down. So like they're a team powered by Matthew Tkachuk and Alexander Barkov. So Matthew Tkachuk had a Hart caliber trophy season. Basically, he'll definitely be getting votes. Very offensive focused, not as well defensive focused. And then Barkov is a little more, definitely one of like the more two-way rounded than Matthew Tkachuk is, but those are kind of their top two. They're Matthews and Marner as it is. Think of Matthew Tkachuk as like Austin Matthews and Michael Bunting combined in one package.
This was his best season ever.
Best season ever. Maybe it was Calgary holding him back under, I'm not sure if he played under Daryl Sutter, but something about the Florida sunshine season. Clearly agreed with him. Yeah.
It's honestly one aspect similar to the last series is like, if you just look at counting stats, right? Braden Point had an amazing season, right? And we're going up against a guy where maybe no Leaf had that same caliber of season. I'm not sure you could say that any Leaf had that caliber of a season, as Matthew Tkachuk has had. I mean, 100 points, 100 penalty minutes. I think he's the only player in the league with that stat line. He's going to be a handful. And, I mean, I don't know how much everybody listening to this watched those remaining Boston games where, you know, Florida just took over that series. But, I mean, it was Matthew Tkachuk took over that series. Like, that guy's coming in as hot as any player in the playoffs to Toronto on Tuesday.
Yeah. And, I feel like I haven't heard as much from Matthew Tkachuk's antics, shall we call them, this game. Like in years past, like I had no respect for Matthew Tkachuk. I just remember him sitting and jumping on Jack Campbell's back and injuring him. And but then this season, it's like all I hear is how intense he is and how like he's the intense one that gets you through. So definitely we'll keep an eye out on him. And I mean, we'll see. Like, so the Leafs are coming off a series with, obviously, Tampa has a lot of firepower and Kucherov, Braden Point, Steven Stamkos. The Leafs were able to hold those three, I think, to like one 5-on-5 goal. It was not a lot. But Florida is on another level offensively this year. They were actually the top offensive team in the NHL this year, held back by their defensive and goaltending woes. But whether our Leafs defense will be able to hold them will be something to watch out. But one thing's for sure, we are in for some exciting hockey of which, like, we haven't seen in a long time. Like, we always talk about, like, against the Columbus of the years, like Boston, always those were teams, even Tampa was more well-rounded, but those teams made it to the playoffs on the backs of their defensive structure and defense, all like team commitment. Florida is much more run and gun when it comes to hockey.
What I'm nervous about Matthew Tkachuk in particular is just like the, I don't know, I guess his size, like he's so big and strong. And I feel like we already aren't the best team at boxing out the net. Right. And we're even probably, I mean, we're probably going to talk about the Leaf lineup here, but we saw in their practice lines today that they're not putting back in Justin Hall. They're probably going to put in Timothy Liljegren. Both Liljegren and Giordano aren't very, like, they're not your box out of the net kind of defenseman, really. So if Matthew Tkachuk ever gets on the ice against that pairing and they're cycling at our end, I don't have the most confidence that we're going to be able to get him out of there protect Samsonov. And, you know, Tim, you already mentioned it. Like, this guy's such a rat. He fell right on Campbell. And I think that injured him, right? Like, was that the game that Campbell still played the last like 30 seconds, even though he was basically dead on the ice? So I don't like it. I don't like how our team shapes up against Tkachuk specifically, but you're right, Tim, we did do a good job holding back Tampa's big boys. So I guess we'll see if we could do it again on steroids.
And there's other names to bring up offensively on this team, but like just a massive difference between Tampa Bay, where like there's just less guys, right? When you're just comparing dudes on each team, like the Florida Panthers just got less dudes. I know that they are a really great offensive team, but as far as just like these singular beings that are just like these unstoppable forces, like Barkov, not the same caliber of season that he had last year, right? There's guys like Brandon Montour and maybe some other guys that we're going to get into later, but like Matthew Tkachuk is the problem. So like it's less problems to have to worry about, I think, than the Tampa Bay Lightning. Getting back to the
Seattle, I think Matthew Tkachuk is the problem offensively. Like, he's the guy that we're going to be worrying about putting up on the stat sheet. But I wouldn't sleep on Barkov. Like, you look at what Cirelli did to Matthews in this previous, and we looked at Matthews and said this guy had a great run. He was hard matched against Cirelli, and he's spent a lot of his own ice time playing in his own zone. It was tough, and they didn't necessarily win those minutes. They obviously got the goals, which helped. But Barkov is their version of Cirelli, and you better believe that he's going to be hard matched against Matthews and Nylander and Knies as that top line. And you just hope that they're going to be able to push through, because scoring, like, you know, we won game six, a score of 2-1. I don't think you're going to win games in this series with only two goals. It's not going to be 2-1 hockey games. It's going to be 4-3 or even 5-4 hockey games. So it's not going to do. We almost need another level from Matthews and our offensive production here than what they've given us.
Well, the thing is, so Florida not as deep as a team as Tampa, the way they're structured. So we talked about Matthew Tkachuk and Alex Barkov. Carter Verhaeghe, former Leafs draft pick of 2013, the pride of Watertown, Ontario. Mr. Clutch, crazy stat. So Florida has won like eight games. I think, I forget the exact stat. Has won eight games in the playoffs since he's been there. Carter Verhaeghe scored the game-winning goal in five of those games. He scored the OT winner as well.
But and he had a monster season this year, right? Didn't he have like 40 goals?
Yeah. On another level. So looking at kind of further depth, they
go ahead. I'm just saying more. I got dumb stuff to say. Just go.
I was going to say, so they have Sam Reinhart, Anthony Duclair, Sam Bennett starting to get like a little declining in quality there. And then the bottom six, I'm sorry, Steven, Eric Staal is no longer the threat he once was.
I'll take a pause here on the Eric Staal disrespect. Say what you want, Tim. The man had 14 goals and 29 points this season. That's better than anybody on our fourth line. All right. And for those that weren't aware, Eric Staal, my favorite player of all time, also from Watertown, Ontario, a local boy. No, that's not true. But I love Eric Staal. But you know what, though? Eric Staal has had many chances to come to the Leafs, and he hasn't taken it. So he's in the doghouse. I hope we retire him this week.
Listen, Steven, you could point out the number of goals and assists that a lot of Florida Panthers have this season, and you would make them out to be a better team than Boston Bruins finished with this season. They beat the Boston Bruins, fair enough. But where this team lies in their true quality, you cannot just look at the goals and points because they let up a lot of goals themselves.
Yeah. Ryan O'Reilly, like, don't discount Ryan O'Reilly on the third line. He's going to feast on the likes of Anton Lundell.
Yeah.
And
can we highlight that? I feel like that's a massive discrepancy between these two teams, where the Leafs already have like very good center depth, almost basically better than anybody else in the NHL. But like this team, it does feel like we should really be feasting. You got Alexander Barkov, top line, Sam Bennett, second line. Sam Bennett, nice player, not quite defensively a nice player, but like nice player. Anton Lundell as your third line center. It's over. Anton Lundell, Ryan Lomberg, and Anthony Duclair on your third line versus what the Leafs should be putting out there, we're in trouble. And then this is a situation where the fourth line needs to take over and actually be better than their opposition's fourth line with Eric Staal, Nick Cousins, and Colin White. Or we'll see who's out there. But up the middle, I mean, the Leafs have got this in the bag. In the bag!
I mean, they should. That's what Boston was thinking all the first round. But definitely, looking on paper and what I expect even at the regular season, like Leafs have the edge, certainly with the depth. If not, I mean, we're talking like, oh, we're afraid of Matthew Tkachuk and Barkov. We have Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares having a monster playoffs, Ryan O'Reilly, William Nylander, like. We have so many offensive talents. Like, Leafs are no slouch in that department. So it'll be very interesting about how it pans out.
What's going to be interesting is we've seen it in so many years where we have these big names and they just haven't delivered in the playoffs. And part of that's because we've been playing these highly defensive teams that could just shut us down. It what's going to be interesting is against Florida, who's going to say, yeah, we're going to welcome a 5-4 hockey game because that's how they want to play. If we could just go toe to toe with that, because we should, you just rattle them all off, Tim. Like, we have the guns to do that, so it's going to be fun. What were you going to say, Steven?
Well, you say that, right? The Leafs, they got the dudes, right? And Florida's got some dudes, but the Leafs got the dudes, right? But the Florida Panthers were just a better offensive team than the Leafs. 3.52 goals per game. And like Tim was saying, when you compile everything, essentially like the best offensive team in the NHL, besides maybe the Boston Bruins, but they've been eliminated. But part of that's due to like the fact that, you know, when you're letting in six goals a game, you got to try to score seven and stuff. But I'm just saying that like where the Leafs sat 3.39 for the year, Florida 3.52, it's just they're a better offensive team over the balance of the season. And they scored a lot of goals against Boston, who was, you know, in theory, a good defensive team. So it's just like, I'm not expecting though, that like the Leafs are going to necessarily have just an easy time.
What's interesting, like we can move on to look at the defense, but the defense is also like a similar story. Like the Florida defense, great offensive, like Brandon Montour, you might not have heard of him, but he like could arguably get some Norris votes this year. Like he had a better season than Aaron Ekblad. And then like Gustav Forsling, like who is this guy? But like he's solid offensively. But all of these guys.
Who is this guy?
Who is this guy?
Does he play for the Dallas Stars as well? He's on Rupe Hintz's line. Tim, Brandon Montour's been rumored to be traded to the Leafs like 45 times. Everybody listening to this podcast knows who Brandon Montour is. We probably should have gotten him. He sounds pretty good.
But they don't have any shutdown defense, and there's no Victor Hedman. I don't even remember if Shea Weber is playing against us in Montreal, but like these guys aren't the guys that you're afraid of against your top pair. They're the ones that, oh, they're in your end and they cycle the puck. Can you break the cycle? But like when our dudes are in the offensive end, It's not something that like we have to be afraid of. I'm so looking forward to seeing what the Leafs' top guns can do against Florida.
Here's the thing. I have two takeaways from this Florida Panthers blue line. The first is, I don't know why we're bothering talking about Aaron Ekblad, because I'm sure he's just going to get injured at somewhere along the lines. Has he even finished a playoff series in his entire career? The guy spends half of it in the hospital, I swear. Anyway, the real point that I have is, I was looking at these deep pairs, and I was just thinking William Nylander in particular is going to feast on this, because we have no player who's better at taking advantage of a pinching defenseman and getting an odd man rush or breakaway going the other way. He's so good at it, and he kind of fell into nothing for the last probably three or four games of that Tampa series. Wasn't very noticeable, was kind of held back, and I look at this and say, of all the Leaf forwards, I'm expecting big things from William Nylander this series. I think he's going to really take advantage of these Florida defensemen.
Can I hit sure you with another stat?
I also hope to see some back checking from William Nylander.
Goals against per 60. The Florida Panthers, actually one of the, like, well, for sure the worst team of the all the playoff teams, and really a worse goals against per game than a handful of non-playoff teams anyway. 3.32 compared to the Leafs 2.68. Like, it's just like, it's funny. If it like quacks like a duck and looks like a duck, it's a duck. Like, everything's pointing to the fact that these guys are not a good defensive team. They weren't even necessarily that good of a defensive team against Boston, right? But it's just like,
yeah,
they still ended up beating Boston. We can't just like take them for granted. We'll get into this later, but like, the Leafs should just feast. We should be seeing 60 goals Austin Matthews out here, and like,
yes,
40 goals William Nylander, and 50 goals John Tavares out there, and just like, it's almost this is setting up so well for the Leafs to be able to play the way where the Leafs are the best that they can be, right?
It'll be interesting. Like, Florida made likely Vezina winner Ullmark in Boston look like Michael Hutchinson this series. They like destroyed him to the point where Boston made a goaltending change in game 7.
Ilya, I don't know Samsonov, how much of that was Florida though. Like, I've heard rumors that there's injury, and like, I don't know, to say that they made the Vezina winner look awful, there's probably a little more to that than meets the eye.
Well, maybe Florida, but like, Ilya Samsonov is not a Vezina winner. So I don't know. We could be in for some high scoring games. So I don't know. So what do you guys would say is like, the biggest advantage that the biggest advantage of the Leafs, and then the biggest advantage that the Panthers have going into this series. So what do you think, Ryan? What is the biggest advantage that the Leafs have going into the series?
Probably the depth, I would say. Like, you could look at the big boys, and yeah, I think probably the combined efforts of Matthews, Marner, Tavares, O'Reilly, and Nylander can out-duel Matthew Tkachuk by himself to hold up the top end of talent there. But you look at the second two lines, and even the depth of defense for Florida, and I just think we have it. I think that the third line for Tampa was really hard for us to play against, and you saw what their fourth line did to us as well, especially early in that series. I don't see us having the same issues there. I think that our depth is going to be an advantage. And if our top players can even just even out, which I think our top players should win that, but even if they just even out, I think our depth will be an advantage for sure.
Steven, what do you think?
I'll go with the special teams.
Ooh, we haven't talked about special teams yet.
And it's a big part of it. I mean, so Toronto Maple Leafs, like, just the Leafs are better really in every aspect of the special teams, even though Tampa Bay...
They were in the regular season.
They were in the regular season and in the playoffs, all right?
And the playoffs.
Regular season, Florida had a 22% power play percentage and a 75% penalty kill, right? That's a, like, good power play, right? Not as good as the Leafs, but a good power play and a average to below average penalty kill, right? Go over to the playoffs, right, where, again, they were playing Boston, the best team in history. Oh, they're so amazing. They're so amazing. That's why they're golfing. Florida, 25% power play percentage through that series. A 59% penalty kill against Boston.
Yikes.
And I know Boston's got a great power play, but the Leafs have a very, very great power play. I mean, the Leafs were humming around 25% all season, 28% against Tampa. And they got a handful of power play opportunities against Tampa. We'll see if that happens again this series. But I'm just saying, like, you give me an opportunity for a team that's sitting right around 60% penalty kill against the Leafs, whose power play has been just, like, looking great, right? I mean, and we're not going up against Vasilevsky here in net either. Like, I just think that that's going to be a huge advantage for the Leafs. I hope it is, because, like, when I think of those years that Boston was just killing us with their killer power play, I hope that's the Leafs here. But just like every single time you see a Panther going to the box, you know that's about to be another puck in the back of the net. Florida's net. Who are they scoring on again? Who are they scoring on?
We haven't said his name yet.
Plinsky?
Bobrovsky!
Oh. All right, what's your stim?
I think I probably have to agree with Ryan that I think the depth is really what sets the Leafs apart here. No, I don't like agreeing with Ryan. I'm going to say the Leafs defense is the difference here. I know, like, what we keep talking about it being a run and gun series, but I think that the Leafs defense is where we have the biggest, like, comparative advantage over Florida. Offensively, obviously Florida had a really good regular season and they have the high end, but I think the Leafs players have a responsibility that the Florida players haven't bought into. The Leafs, a responsibility it's only learned through years and years and years of losing. So the Leaf players know what it takes and know what it takes from a team perspective of not to get caught cheating. And I think it's going to be the difference.
All right, well, let's talk about what Florida's biggest advantage is, because you already said it, Steven, but like I think their biggest advantage is Sergei Bobrovsky. You said, oh, we're not going up against
Bobrovsky.
Yeah, that
Sorry,
too.
What was his name again?
Billy.
He's Bobrovsky. Off the case, all right. Listen, you said we're not going up against Andrei Vasilevsky. Andrei Vasilevsky ended up being the least of our worries in that series against Tampa Bay. We were fine. Like he was even below average from what you'd expected him to be. The biggest problem that Florida faced throughout this season, why they were so bad for the first half, is their goaltending sucked. It was so bad. And then they went on this miraculous run at the end of the season. I think that they went on like a 7 or 8 or 9 game winning streak at the end, which ended up propelling them into the playoffs past Pittsburgh. It's because they had Lyon. What, Alex Lyon? Is that his name? They had Lyon, who just came out of nowhere and all of a sudden went on this huge run for them. He started for them in the playoffs, which is crazy, and they ended up switching to Bob. But we saw it. Bob closed out the series for them, and he looked like Vezina Bobrovsky, because he's won a Vezina trophy before. Excuse me. He signed a $10 million contract in Florida with that pedigree. And if he is able to bring that back and to be at that level, which it looks like is what he's at, that's why Florida was able to go toe-to-toe with this greatest team ever, as you would say, Steven. That it's partially because of Bobrovsky. So yeah, I'm scared of the man, the badge. I'm scared of him going into the series.
You're the number one cop on the force, Bobrovsky.
Yeah, right. I'm equipped. I'm ready for the series.
We need to get Jay Onright on the pod.
Well, maybe next episode.
I just said I don't like agreeing with Ryan, but I do. I think I have to agree with him on this point. Like, maybe it's just because the Leafs have been goalied in way too many series before, but the goaltending like has the opportunity to steal a series. Like, it doesn't matter how offensive you are. If a goalie decides that you're not winning this game, we've seen them like stop 40, 50 shots and everything else. So I do think that is most likely the Panthers' path to victory if Bobrovsky decides to play out of his mind. Granted, Sergei Bobrovsky, 34 years old, no longer spring chicken, a few years removed from his Vezina trophy. But I mean, that and I'm also, I mean, a little worried about injuries. You know, I mean, I think we escaped the Tampa series, but Sheldon Keefe has always been a little cagey about whether everyone was healthy or not.
Wait a minute. Wait. What's his name again?
Sergei Bobrovsky.
Sorry, I'm not done yet.
What clips do you have?
enough for the series. Don't worry. We're going to get through all of them.
All right. Steve, what are you most worried about from the Florida Panthers?
Just offense in general. I mean, like, the idea that like these guys bat on the backs of this offense just beat the Boston Bruins, like it, I'm so torn because like we're probably sounding exactly like every Jabroni Bruins podcast before game one, right? Where you're just looking at all these different aspects of where your team's going to feast. And it's just like, yes, those things exist, but like this Florida offense, just like, what if they get hot? What if they figure out a way to like, they scored so many goals against Boston, especially in those couple of games leading up to the that game seven. So I would say it's that. I mean, I had goaltending down as well. Just because like, I don't know, it's just possible. But like, part of me thinks that like, we're making stuff up. Like Bob played well, right? Bob played well, but Bob did not win them that series. Their goaltending was bad all season, or for a lot of the season, because of Bob, right? Spencer Knight was supposed to be their starter, and he was their starter for the first, I don't know, like quarter of the season, half of the season. And then he went into that player assistance program or whatever. And then it was Bob, and Bob was a tire fire. So like, I don't know. I just, as much respect as I have for Bobrovsky, it's not my biggest concern. It's just the fact that we're going up against like one of the few teams that's a better offensive team than the Leafs this season.
Well, and all of the same, Steven, like you're right when you say we're kind of like making stuff up, because you look at these two teams on paper the same way that Boston would have, and you just say like, yes, the Leafs should win this game. You even look at that series that Florida played against Boston. This is Boston with an injured Patrice Bergeron. I believe Krejci was injured at the beginning of the series. There's rumors that Ullmark was injured by the end of the series. There was that weird giveaway that Ullmark had that basically just gave Florida a free win. Like, there's lots of just like lucky things that led to Florida barely scraping by in overtime in game seven. Like, you think if any of those other things went Boston's way, then it would have been over and we wouldn't have even been talking about this. So you're right. I don't think any of us should be anyway, super cause for concern. I imagine each of us are going to pick the Leafs to win this series, but you never know. It's hockey. There's big upsets that happen all the time. We just watched Seattle beat the Colorado Avalanche. Who picked that to happen? Like, it's anyone can upset anybody. And just because we're feeling all confident and we have all the reasons in the world to win, it doesn't mean we will win. Maybe Wes McCauley will ref one of our games. No, I'm just
don't
kidding.
Bring that up. Hey, counting stats. I mean, Bob sitting with a 3.94 goals against average in round one and an .891 save percentage. So yeah, I think you guys are just making stuff up. Like, this guy won
that
the Vezina.
Doesn't tell the full story.
He won the Vezina a bazillion years ago, but it's just like, he's not Andrei Vasilevskiy. There's literally only one. There's only one guy like that. And he didn't even help out. He didn't even, you know, help him win their series. So settle down. You guys and the rest of Leafs Nation, settle down.
All right.
It's happened too many times.
If Corpusello could do it, I think Bob could do it too.
Hang on,
so
let
we'll
me get
see.
My Corpusello drop. I don't have one. okay, let's roll through some of these next ones. What are you the most confident in? This is surrounding the Leafs. Well, actually, I guess it could be just anything in the series, right? But like, what is the thing you're most confident is going to happen in this series that, yeah, what's going on? Player, coach?
Go ahead, Tim. You're always just doing whatever I say, so you can go first this time.
I am confident that Austin Matthews is going to show up once again. He got a taste of what playoff Austin Matthews can look like. He finally broke through and took over a series against Tampa. Austin Matthews, I think, or the state of Florida, rather, I think agrees with Austin Matthews rather well. I think we're in for another 3, 4, 5 goal series from Austin Matthews. Guys, on fire.
That's a good one. I'll go with, oh, shoot. Wait, what did I have down? Man, sometimes I look at Tim's eyes. That the Leafs can handle the things that happen in between the whistles. They loose at the beginning of the first round series so much better as the series went along. And I think that it's going to be a big factor. We are going up against some Goonie type guys, right? You've got Tkachuk on the ice. You've got Radko Gudas on the ice. You've got guys, Mark Stahl can get into it. Like, you've got guys that have played a lot of games and know how to get under your skin. But I just think the Leafs are going to be able to stay calm and not be idiots.
That's a good one, Steven. I didn't think about that, but you're right. Like, it kind of burned us in a lot of ways in that first, you know, bunting goes to be without mention, but I think McCabe took a careless penalty in between the whistle for a punch to guy's face, and
Lafferty
happened another time as well. Yeah, Lafferty, that was the other one. So yeah, we definitely got to clean that up. I don't know if I'd say I'm confident we'll clean it up, but you are right. We gotta take care of that.
All those things you mentioned, Rye, that all happened like, I don't know, pre-game three. Like, they were just so much cleaner. Bunting was like quiet as a church mouse in that third game.
He really was.
Right?
And he really was.
I think he's going to learn his lesson too, because the man did not earn a spot back on the first line either. So
that's right. That's right. I'm going to put my faith in one Mitchell Marner. I think that we see what he does in the regular season. You know, he was one of my three stars of the series for against Tampa, because I thought he had a great series, but he wasn't even close to what we've seen him do in the regular season. And I think that's two things. One, Tampa did an excellent job at neutralizing him. He just flourishes when he has a bit of space on the ice, and they just gave him nothing. They closed in on him as soon as he got the puck every time. And Florida doesn't have that kind of team to do that. So I think he's really going to excel against, I guess, the lack of Florida's defensive awareness or ability or play or whatever you want to call it. I think Marner will really do well, and we're going to see some magic from the guy. The other reason why I think he'll do well is I don't think anyone on the Leafs felt as much pressure from the Leafs not succeeding in the playoffs as Mitch Marner did. You could just feel it. Even in game six, he just wasn't a standout like these other guys were. And I think he just feels it, and he wears that more than any other person on a team. And if I were to think of one player who is just finally going to look like they're playing without carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, it's got to be Mitch Marner in round two. So he's my man.
Florida man, Mitch Marner. All right, next question. What aspects of the Leafs in this series has got you?
You're dripping sweat.
If there's anything, what's got you a little nervous? What's got you dripping sweat there, Tim?
Other than the fact that we're in totally unprecedented territory round two, and that there's potential for the Leafs to take game seven or game six win against Tampa and just coast, because that was their Stanley Cup. I don't know. On one hand, like, I want to say Ilya Samsonov, but he had such a good series in round one that, like, that does make me feel good. But I don't know. Is he going to start getting worn out? I'm starting to get worn out with all these playoff games, so I don't know what he's going through. But I think as far as what makes me most nervous, I think Ilya Samsonov is someone who, maybe I'm making stuff up, and maybe I'm being unreasonable. Like, the guy stole us at least two games in the first round. He's been solid for three quarters, if not 80% of the year. But yet, when I look at this team and say, like, where might it fall down? I mean, especially if Justin Hall is not in the lineup. Sorry, Justin Hall. You're back to whipping boy status. I'm worried about Ilya Samsonov. Has me a little sweaty.
But you're saying this as a little sweaty.
A little sweaty.
Because you don't sound that sweaty.
I'm going to spoil things. I'm picking the Leafs in five games this round. I think... So I think that the Leafs, like, all together going to keep it rolling. I think the Leafs are going to be playing light. I think that they've had a taste of the good stuff. They know what it's like to win now. They saw all the clips of the city going crazy after the first round win, and they're going to say, I want more of that. I want to keep those boys in the Leaf cast happy. That's what they care about. And I think they're just going to start rolling.
To get back to the sweat that Tim wanted to get away from there, I think for me, I'm going to say team defense, and not our defensemen specifically, actually more our forwards. I could just see the future where they just get excited about all this open ice and ability to go and actually do things in the offensive zone. And I worry that they're going to lose. We play great when we have a team defense, when our forwards are coming back, supporting the defense. We just look so complete. We get out of our zone so easily, and when we have troubles is when our defense can't advance the puck up to our forwards and get it out clean. That's when just everything falls apart. And I'm worried that the Leafs are going to fall into this trap of thinking that they can just go play in the offensive zone. And there's not going to be that two-way forward mentality. And I'm worried it's going to burn us. If I were to pick a plan B, it would probably be Ilya Samsonov. Not because I think he'll be bad, but just from the how offensively gifted Florida has been this season and what they did to Boston. But for me, it's just going to be team defense. I want to see us put that full 200-foot ice to the test and get back when we need to, and then get it back up the ice where the puck needs to go. And I would even say I'm a little bit more sweaty about that than Tim's letting on. I think that could be something that burns us.
Sweaty are you? What's your pick for your number of games?
Oh, we're not there yet. You jumped the gun, man.
I can't continue to let this conversation even happen. You guys are sitting here saying that the biggest X factor for Florida is a 34-year-old guy who won the Vezina like 7 years ago, and your biggest worry is a 26-year-old goalie that's a star on the Leafs that just helped win them a first-round series, and he's like 10 years younger than Bob, and you're like, that's the guy I'm worried about?
I mean, you're over here talking about save percentages and goals against average. If that's all you want to look at, Samsonov did not have a good series either. He was a sub-900 save percentage and not a very good goals against average either. Now, we watched the games. We know he played well the same way that we know Bobrovsky played well, but Florida had the best offensive regular season of anyone. Like, they had a better season than Boston or us or Tampa. So to say that you're not worried, not even about Samsonov playing poorly, just that they're going to come in and handle us offensively, and they're just going to put up these big goals and big numbers. Yeah, it's got to be a concern for you.
Don't you dare throw the stats back in my face when I'm wearing my stats glasses. Are you kidding me?
I apologize.
These are my stats glasses, not today.
I take it back.
I really wonder what is there to be worried about with this team. I honestly just don't know.
Are you picking Leafs in four?
No, I think it could be the glaring fact that they just beat the best team in the NHL 3 games in a row and are now coming to our house. These guys are hot as any team in the playoffs right now, and they just beat the guys. Absolutely.
They just beat the perennial chokers.
But think about how much money is lost on people that were betting on Boston. Everybody was picking Boston. It's just like, these guys have some mojo, and it's just like, they're not a dead man walking. Like, they just beat the best team in the NHL. That is scary to me. That is more scary than anything else.
I don't know if they're holding their heads higher than the Leaf players are holding their heads high. Like, you want to talk about emotional win. Just from everything I've been seeing and listening to the players talk about it, this win that the Leafs got, it means something, especially to guys like Marner and Tavares and Riley Matthews, like the guys who have been there a while and have worn a lot of the disappointment in years past. It means something to them. And like, yeah, Florida's really excited that they just beat Boston. But from a pure emotional standpoint, I think the Leafs have the same mojo in their heads, and they're going to have the same overconfidence in their heads. And I don't know if that's going to favor one team over the other. I think it evens out.
All right.
We'll find out on Tuesday.
Two more questions. How many games and who's your MVP? Tim, you said 5 games. Who's your MVP?
5 games. I think we go undefeated in Florida because that's what we do. Matthew Knies did not lose in Florida. We haven't even talked about Matthew Knies this game. The guy's great. I think one of our home games we will drop. I think we'll drop game 2. Florida's going to be tired coming off their game 7 overtime win. The NHL giving them 1 day of rest. So Leafs will win game 1, lose game 2, ride out the rest. There. I told you how MVP? It's going to go. 5 games.
Now, who's
MVP, Tim? Most valuable player.
I have
Speak
the song.
Up, boy. Speak up.
I have the song.
Series MVP. I already said it. Who am I most confident? Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews is going to be the series MVP. He's going to be head and shoulders above everyone else.
All right. For me, last time I picked the Leafs to beat Tampa in 5, and you jabroni said 6, and you were right and I was wrong. This time I am picking the Leafs in 6 games. I'm not going with 5. I was burned last time. It is hard winning these series. It's hard. It's hard for anyone to win the series. Did anyone win in 5? Did Carolina win in 5? No, I don't think any of the series were 1-5. Like, there's too much stuff that could go on. Florida's not a bad team. Even it's fun to make fun of the wide gap that was between Florida and Boston, but they're not a bad team. Like, they're only good teams that are in the playoffs. So I think it will be a battle. I think that Florida is going to do some damage, but I will pick the Leafs in six, a pretty confident six, I would say. And our series MVP, I think it's going to be Mitch Marner. He's going to be a different Mitch. The Mitch Marner that we're going to see in this playoff round, you have not seen this Mitch Marner in the playoffs so far. He is going to be free making these unbelievable plays, even though I assume we're going to go through what the Leafs projected lineups are going to be. That's probably the last thing on your list, Steven, or that's a bonus one. But even though it's not projected that Marner's going to start with Matthews, I think he ends up with Matthews, and that line is just going to dominate when they're out there. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, to be fair, Ryan, Mitch Marner had 11 points in round one.
But Tim, I'm talking about like watching him play. You see the plays that he made in the regular season, and he's just magic out there. He just takes a play where there's nothing and just turns it into, you know, takes the magic beans or whatever it is. We didn't necessarily see him do that. Yes, he got on the point sheet, but he wasn't as impactful as I know he can be, and he's going to do that in round two.
Of note, Matthew Tkachuk also had 11 points in round one.
And Rupe Hintz, who plays for who, Ryan?
He had 12 points.
The Albuquerque Albatrosses, I think. I don't know.
I'm aligned with my brother Ryan on this one. Leafs in six. Nobody wins these series in five, especially not this year. And I think the Leafs drop two. I just think that, like, going back to a lot of the regular season, where just like the Leafs didn't have a lot of games, they scored seven goals. Florida did that a lot. And I don't know if that happens, that the Leafs are going to be able to keep up. So I still obviously think the Leafs are going to win this thing. And I'll be happy if they win it in five. But six.
That's Look at us. Me. And all of us predicting not another game seven.
I'm gonna That's right. freak out, though. But like, you're so right, Tim, beginning in the pod, where it's just like, we're going to freak out, though, for those two L's. We're going to freak out.
Especially if we lose one of those first two ones. Like, you lose one of these games at home and you split again. Like, I want to win both those first two games. We're supposed to win those first two games. I want to win them.
And then for me, it's Mitch Marner as well. I'm so confident in Mitch. He had a great first round, but I think you're right. Give him that space and his baby's over. I think Mitch Marner's going to be money, and he just money.
Is it
money.
A rhetorical question to ask? Is Matthew Nyes going to get his first NHL goal this series?
He better. I've never seen anyone climb the lineup under Sheldon Keefe like him without scoring a goal. Who was the guy? Think of how many random AHLers like Bobby McMahon come in for one game, score a goal, and then get sent down the next day, right? And Matthew Nyes out, like, he's been great. He's been on the ice for every overtime winner. He still has not found the back of the net.
Well, honestly, though, it's like a testament to how good he's been that even without the production, without any goals scored, he's received the praise that he has, not just from like us, but you're right, Steven, the recognition to go from the third line to like the second line to the first line to in like an elimination game. He played on the top line with Austin Matthews, and he's set to do it again for game one against Florida. It's wild.
So wild. Projected lineup.
It is Nyes, Matthews, Nylander on the top line. Yarncrook with Tavares and Marner on the second. Bunting, O'Reilly, Achari for the third line. Austin Reese, Kampf, and Kerfoot, with extras being Simmons and Lafferty. And then on defense, we have McCabe, Brody, Riley, Shen, Giordano, Liljegren, with extras being Gustafson, Hall. So a couple things of note is we're back to 12-6. The 11-7 experiment is in the bottle, at least for now. Liljegren is staying in with Hull being out. And Kerfoot is the one who slides down to that fourth line. So what are your guys' impressions? Surprised? Excited? Angry?
I might have thought we see Bunting on the top line and Nyes on the third line, just to further expand that depth, and especially knowing that Florida is a top-heavy team. But, I mean, like, the kid can play. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, like, does Sheldon Keefe try and hard match, like, the Bunting, O'Reilly, Achari line against the top line to give Matthews more space? Or does he just go...
No, you're not putting Bunting in a defensive responsibility. You're sheltering that line. Are you kidding me? Bunting is not a defensive
Ryan
player.
O'Reilly.
But they looked
no.
That line looked great against whoever they threw out there in game 6. I mean, they
Yeah, but Keefe was not targeting the point line or Kucherov with Bunting. No way. If you were hoping to do like a hard match line, then you would not be putting Bunting on that line. I'm sorry.
But then, like, if Knies were down there, what line are you putting out there in a defensive situation out of the top three lines, right?
Probably the Yarncrook, Tavares, Marner line, if
That's
anything.
What I,
or your
I, yeah, I think
line.
It's that no matter who's playing there. But I 100% agree with you, Tim, that, like, even though we were beefing with Bunting and we got some hate in the comments, Ryan and I did, screw you guys. Listen, we know what we're talking about. Bunting, I just think that he should be on the top line, and I think Knies looked his best on the third line. I thought he looked really great with Ryan O'Reilly. Even though Bunting looked really great there in game 6 as well, be interesting to see if Sheldon Keefe though changes stuff up like as often as he did in the first series, right?
I kind of expect as long as we're winning, I think this is the lineup we go with. Like, I think I was a little on the defensive end. I was a little surprised to see Hall still out just because Hall played so many games during the year, but then again, so did Lugren. But I think Until the Leafs lose, this is the lineup.
Yeah, I was a little torn, honestly, having Hall out and Liljegren still in, because Hall was very not good for the last while of that Tampa series. Like, he deservedly was taken out. And Liljegren had a good game 6. He was fine in the 10 minutes he played, which is more than you could say for Justin Hall in the games that he played leading up to that. So part of me says, yes, absolutely keep Liljegren in. But Florida is just, I'm nervous putting out Liljegren. Hall, I would trust more. You know, where you're talking about boxing out someone like Tkachuk in front of the net, I would trust Hall to do that more than Timothy Liljegren, I think. So I'm a little torn. I'm okay with it because we just won the last game. Let's ride this out. But if we lose either game 1 or 2 and Liljegren's looking like he can't stand up to Florida, I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the earlier changes that we see Keith made, that Hall comes back in and Liljegren takes a seat. That might just be a rotating last spot, to be honest.
He's 6'5 every night. That's what Ryan says. Says, right. I don't care how good Liljegren is and how many goals Justin Hall was on the ice for. He's 6'5 every night.
Listen,
baby.
He was deservedly taken out of the lineup. He was not very good.
But it was only one game. I think I love that decision. I think that even more than just like the Lily Hall comparison, who makes Mark Giordano look better, and he looked better in that game 6 as well, and that's the other part of that pair. And so I think, yeah, you keep Justin Hall out and hopefully we have no injuries and we can keep them this way.
That's a really big one, actually. We didn't really talk about it, but Giordano didn't have the best series against Tampa. Part of that might have been Justin Hall. Usually Giordano can still kind of play well with anybody, but he was struggling, and it'd be really nice to get him going. And yeah, hopefully Lily's the one to do it.
He was looking like a 39-year-old defenseman at times.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the oldest skater in the NHL. Have some respect, Tim. Tim with no respect to this.
How old is Eric Staal now?
He was drafted in 2003. He would be 18 in 2003.
He's 38.
He was a second overall
pick.
He's
getting up there.
Played for the Peterborough Petes. Name.
He's from Waterdown.
Here's your final question. Yeah, Under I was bang. Wondering. No, we'll talk about it later. Who's the fourth Staal brother?
Jared.
Wow, you guys are too smart.
Is it
who's
Rube?
The fifth Staal brother? No, Gunnar Staal from that Mighty Ducks movie. Which one? 3? 2? 2! Gunnar Staal.
Leafs in 6.
We're excited.